So this week, on the morning of Wednesday, September 20th, a nationwide walkout titled 1 Million March for Children occurred in many communities across Canada. At around 9 a.m., protesters gathered on George Street in front of Peterborough City Hall, and Peterborough Police closed the road to traffic. The purpose of 1 Million March for Children is to advocate for the elimination of the sexual orientation and gender identity curriculum, pronouns, gender ideology, and mixed bathrooms in schools. And that's a quote right from their website at millionmarchforchildren.squarespace.com. Their website also includes a tab titled Educational Material, which includes a series of screenshots and links to websites all supporting the idea that the increased numbers of transgender and gender diverse youth is a result of, quote, social contagion, unquote, and not a genuine civil rights movement. Essentially, they are arguing that the current curriculum of queer education in schools is indoctrination, that it is influencing children to identify with the 2SLGBTQ+ spectrum. Well, on the other side of George Street, there was a gathering of counter-protesters who feel that the actions proposed by the 1 Million March for Children walkout are harmful to the 2SLGBTQ+ community and are advocating for taking away the rights of trans kids. On today's news recap, I'm joined by one of Wednesday's counter-protesters, Stephanie Young, an active ally and advocate for the 2SLGBTQ+ community and a parent to a gender-diverse student in grade 9 here in Peterborough. Thanks for being here with me today, Stephanie.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm happy to be here.
So to begin, just tell me a little bit about you and also a little bit about who your child is.
A parent, a community member. My child, as you said, is a grade 9 student here at a local high school. They are part of the LGBT community. I think my role as a parent is just to support my child and really every child in the community.
Mm-hmm. And so tell me what your reaction was like when your child first expressed interest or curiosity in gender expression?
My first reaction was, I guess, in a way, I was proud that they had the confidence and they knew that their father and I would love them no matter what, and that they felt safe enough to tell us who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I'm already getting quite emotional.
That's okay.
It really, to me, is a scary world when people can't be who they are.
Mm-hmm. And so how old was your child when that first started?
I would say around grade six or grade seven. To be honest, it wasn't a shocking moment in our life, so we didn't mark it down as something that we had to remember forever. Mm-hmm. It was just part of our child's everyday journey.
Yeah. Describe what it was like to be at this protest on Wednesday.
It's really a gamut of emotions for me. I'm sad that people have to counter protest. I'm proud to be one of the counter-protesters. I'm proud to be an ally, regardless of where my child falls in this group. I feel like I would do it no matter what. There is some genuine fear. The protesters are very loud and maybe not always physically aggressive, but definitely verbally aggressive. And they're typically white men of a certain age who have a pretty physical presence. And if I'm afraid as a cis woman, I can only imagine how members of the community, how fearful they might be.
Yeah. Yeah. And so you did tell me you've attended many, or you even said almost all of the protests in Peterborough in recent months that regard advocating for the rights of the queer community. How is this protest specifically different than ones you've been to in the past?
The ones I've attended in the past are typically, or ha- not typically, have been in support of Betty Barker and story drag queen story time in general at any venue that chooses to have that great entertainment for kids. Anything that gets kids interested in reading in a fun way, I think, is something that should be embraced. Sorry, I got a little off track there.
That's okay.
Can you just refresh the question?
Yeah, just so what was different about this Wednesday's protest from ones you've been to in the past?
Drag Queen Storytime protests have seemed to be very specific. The protest on Monday seems to be really broad and really going after... when you're going after the whole education system, it's really frightening, and it worries me in what the ultimate agenda is, that it doesn't seem to... It's just about silencing anyone who doesn't believe in these extreme views. And I'm really concerned as a parent and just a member of the community. Like, we seem to have made a lot of progress, and that progress is being attacked in such a visceral way that I don't really understand.
Mm-hmm. And so you did say that previous protests or counter-protests that you've attended, you've seen that the protesters were focused and that this one wasn't like that, which that doesn't come through when you're looking at the website of the 1 Million March for Children. They seem to have a very clear focus of what this national walkout was for, and that it was exclusively and only to change or eliminate these curriculums from the school. Was that true? Or in your experience there this week, or did they branch out and say things and make signs that cover other topics outside of that specific goal?
Well, I did have someone give me a Nazi salute, which does not seem to have anything to do with education. There was a lot of talk about God and church, which I didn't really understand. There just was a lot of leave our kids alone, which really from my perspective as, I guess, a counter-protester, is really what I want as well. Leave the kids alone to just be who they are and let them feel safe.
Yeah. How has the current sexual orientation and gender identity curriculum in schools affected your child and your family?
I think that's a really interesting question. I think it just provided my child with an additional safe space to be who they are. They already had a safe space at our home to be who they are. Or my husband and I like to think that that's the environment that we have provided. But I think school is a very different place. When you're at school, you don't worry that someone's going to stop loving you like you do at home. No matter how open and inclusive your home is, there's always, I think, a risk. We always worry that our parents aren't going to love us because of the choice or decision that we've made. And I hate to say choice or decision, because that's not what any of this is really about when it comes to a person's identity.
But it is a choice and decision to come out to your parents.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. And I through the years, I did a lot of volunteering at school, and the kids are freer at school, I think, than they are at home. And providing a safe space for kids is always the better choice. And I think eliminating language or terminology, I guess that's the same thing, but eliminating education that segregates any group is not providing a safe place for our kids.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think would happen if, in theory, the actions that the 1 Million March for Children were proposing, the elimination of this curriculum, if that was implemented today, it was no longer taught in Ontario schools, what effect do you think that would have on our community?
I think that it wouldn't change who anybody ultimately was. They're, people are going to be who they are. I think it would dramatically increase depression and would probably lead to the loss of life of many young people.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's okay. Yeah. And it's obviously, it's an emotional topic for anybody, and especially when you have a child who is currently going through this education system. And so both it is directly going to affect your child and so many others in the community if that were to happen. You mentioned something yesterday, I think, that what do you think the actual purpose of these counter-protests are?
The purpose of the counter-protests? Well, I can only speak for me as a counter-protest.
Yeah.
It's to show support and that the loud, angry voices are not the voices that I want anyone in the LGBTQIA community to feel or hear. That if I'm there showing my support, that is, I want them to feel that love and not feel that they're not wanted.
Yeah. And so if there are any listeners that are not super up to date or knowledgeable on any of these counter protests, how do you know about them? How do you find out about these protests or counter protests?
I am not a very involved in social media, but I do know of one group on Facebook, Concerned Citizens of Peterborough, and it is a great place to find out about when the community needs allies, and that's where I usually find the call for help.
Mm-hmm. So, and I think one last question: when you attend a protest, for you and the other people at these counter protests, who is your target audience? Who are you trying to reach with your message?
I am just trying to reach the members of the LGBTQIA community. I don't think that anything that I would say to someone who is against, who's protesting, wants to hear anything but the echo chamber that they already exist in. And I just want members of the community to know that they have allies.
Thank you so much for sharing with me today, Stephanie. So I've been speaking with Stephanie Young, a local advocate for the queer community, an active counter-protester at this week's 1 Million March for Children walkout, and a parent to a gender-diverse ninth-grade student here in Peterborough. This has been the first half of your weekly news recap, and I'm Eddie Sweeney, reporting for the Local Journalism Initiative and for CFFF FM 92.7 Trent Radio, here in Peterborough, Nogajiwinong.